Did you hear the faint screams of a thousand children saying, Daddy, no?
Because we all know a womb is basically just a bottle of water,
That
like
you
in the
put
heat
your
of a
colon
car.
into. Yeah,
It
exactly.
was.
Road sloshing around until a baby happens. Yeah.
To be fair, with that scientific understanding of how it works, you would be no worse off as a day-to-day human. If you just think a womb is like a bottle of water into which you send your, like, you still make the baby. It's still,
Yeah.
it's like the way people who think the earth is flat suffer no consequences. It's like they just go about thinking it's flat. You treat the earth as being flat, it basically is for you. You know, how do the planes work? Oh, it's all a scam. Okay, cool.
What?
Once you're not designing them, it doesn't fucking.
Do you fly it, planes? You do. Interesting. Okay.
And it, yeah. Oh, how do you think they work? Oh, it's a scam. Okay. Nothing meaningful has changed for you. Okay. That's fine.
What happens is they just raise up and then they change the set below you as
Yeah.
they lower back down. And then, yeah, you're in Paris.
I mean,
And then there's a bunch of people pretending to be French, you know?
Yeah. And you don't speak the
I can
language, so
learn
you
all
don't
that.
know.
That would fucking explain a lot of France, though, if it was. Because they do sort of sound like what a stereotype of a Frenchman sounds like when you get there. It's like, oh, they really say that stuff. That's the fucking. I assume comedians were exaggerating, but they really are quite snooty as well, actually. This is weird. And there are stink lines protruding from them at all
Of
points. It's,
course, well, they're French ones.
they're
Surrendering as
all
we speak.
skunks. Amorous, rapey little skunks, like
Rapey little
that,
skull.
like that adorable little rape skunk that we all watched on television as children, Jeremy Clarkson. Not the fun, not necessarily the funniest person to put in there, but he's a placeholder in comedy's eyes. We'll
Okay,
probably
have we
we'll probably
started
cut
it?
back in right after Jack's disgusting semen story, and then and it'll be the
But you know
final
what, Manus?
countdown.
I'll leave it up to you to decide if our four listeners should be spared that particular test.
I don't know. I feel like if I wasn't spared it, I don't feel they should get to be, but we'll
Well,
see.
yeah, what? Yeah, Jack, what you should have done is while telling that story, tell a story where Manus looks bad so he can't include it.
Oh, damn, that would
But
have been so
unfortunately, that
great.
story is clean, and that will
Yeah.
make it into the episode.
Yeah, he's like,
I mean,
yeah. So I was guzzling down a bottle of my own aged cum, and you know they manage to spat sometimes. And anyway, yeah. So
there is just more of me for a very small amount of people to love and most other people to sort of dislike over a longer time. It's harder to say than more of me to love, but it's a
what
more
was
accurate
that?
reflection on how it goes. Yeah, we're back. We're back, folks.
Ooh.
Guess who's back? Us.
Back
We're the
again,
ones
back
back
again.
again. The final countdown is back. Don't probably tell a friend. They
Yeah,
won't
we don't
appreciate
tell our friends. It would be weird if you
it.
told yours.
No.
I actively discourage people in my life from listening to this for fear of what it will do to the rest of my life.
I
Here's the thing,
never.
Jack. They meet me. I tell them I have a podcast, and I don't need to discourage them.
They've
They're
all
like,
listened to
oh,
it,
wow, you've got a podcast. Who's on it? Three other white guys, and they're like, cool, no thanks.
yeah. If you would,
Occasionally, someone will say, like, oh, I found your podcast. And I'm like, number
it's
one,
like someone,
why? And it's like,
yeah.
and then the second is like, did you listen? She's like, no.
Yeah.
That's like finding your OnlyFans. I mean, they would have the same reaction if they found my OnlyFans. I'm like, I found it. What the fuck are you
Yeah,
doing?
because this, it's just this again, except you
Yeah.
get to pay us because
And
you're our pay pig,
and
Howard.
you can see my hoop if you want, which so far no one has clicked the box. No. At no extra cost. In fact, you have to unclick it. It's
No extra
automatically
cost.
clicked. It's like, would you at no extra cost like to see Manus's anus? And it's there's never been someone who's not unticked it. Not even a bemused.
You're paying for a sensitive content filter to be applied to the
Yeah.
pictures to hide it from your eyes.
Not even the type of person who forgets to untick the automatic insurance on a Ryanair flight has ever forgotten to untick the onion. It's actually, and it's more impressive than you think because it's on every OnlyFans that you have to untick a box not to see my arse. So if you fucking fucking subscribe to Peppa Pig. True? Peppa Pig's OnlyFans.
There is a like. There's a like. There's a like. Turn off the porn button.
I mean, I'm pretending. Not, I'm pretending not to know how OnlyFans works the same as you are, Jack. So I don't know. I just refuse to buy into the lie
that anyone uses OnlyFans for anything other than porn. So as soon as you're mentioning it, like I can tell you how the search function on Pornhub works, and I don't, and I'm not ashamed of that at all.
I just front page. Jack,
you know how the search function on Pornhub works. You type in what you want and it gives it to you. Like, fuck, what the fuck sort of advanced filters are you using?
Like, quotation marks to get specific content, date ranges to get like,
Gab,
like
I know
date same.
I know exactly what I want.
You can specify which body parts you'd like to be bleached and unbleached. Because OnlyFans did try to for a while be like, no, hey, we've got other stuff. We've got comedy. We've got other stuff. Yeah. And then they were very cool. I don't know if it was
until Dylan Moran got his poop out. Then...
No, Dylan, I don't think you fully read the contract. And here's an impersonation of Silvio Berlusconi that I think you'll find a little cheeky.
Don't pick the box.
They don't make water hot enough, Dylan. Jesus Christ. I've scrubbed and I've scrubbed and I've scrubbed and I've scrubbed. But you mentioned you mentioned OnlyFans to us, Jack, way early in the podcast when no one had heard of it. And I presume no, like, as like a way of stopping people from, I think we were just talking about like how does anyone make money off porn? Because it just immediately gets leaked and you were like, there's this new thing that's only for fans.
Yeah.
And I remember
branding, as you're implying, but here we are. Yes.
Well, I think I remember like genius market predictor Ron is crowning in action again. I was like, that'll never work, never take off.
Well, no. So what it was that there's a friend of mine from wrestling was friends with the person who founded it, and she was a model, and so literally just to try and get hot women on a thing to draw attention to it, as you would anything, he got a bunch of like glamour models to join it. And then it just like it was, you know, it was just, it just framed the whole thing as porn. So it was actually not designed apparently to be tits in the first place, but it very rapidly and immediately became tits. And I guess like I still don't understand how like bootleg OnlyFans are not just fucking everywhere. Like how like it seems so difficult to protect that content. But I think actually two things happened. I'm sorry, to be clear. Not a huge OnlyFans user. I've never subscribed to one. I'm fascinated by this part of the.
Neither have I. To be honest, and it's not again because I have anything against it. It's just it seems
like a bad.
It's just not
to me.
It's I think it's just culturally as well. It's just a few years. You know, you get behind it, and you just can't catch up, and it's just.
Well, also anecdotally from the gals I know who do it, that it's less about the tits and it is more actually about the conversation, like. Like it's that I can get tits for free. I'm paying you to show me your tits and reply to my message.
Yeah, there's a type of there's a type of oddball simp that is just sort of they want to feel like they have a relationship with the person. Yeah. I think is what's going on. So it's not.
Gavin, as another happily married fan, are you lost in this conversation? I don't know what they're talking about. What is this thing? OnlyFans.
Yeah,
the internet.
Yeah.
What is this?
My memory wiped when I got married.
Oh, Ben, you don't know. You should ask Kim. Hers is great.
It's how we're going on holidays 5 times this year.
She
I'm
just
meeting up with Michael Greg.
She actually just reads poetry on it. It's but for some reason that's actually more monetary getting because these simps are like, man, if she's reading poetry now, what'll she do when I pay her double the amount?
Read prose.
Oh, don't get me started.
I forget what the point that I was trying to make. There's
creepy people on OnlyFans.
Yeah, I think it's like, how do you not get that bootlegged? Is I think my thing.
I bet it is. I bet it
probably is, but it's like.
But that's not what you're paying
so
for. It's actually
much
a different
porn
thing.
Out there. Like, you know, it's probably bootleg OnlyFans, but like
the people who enjoy
it, it's in the fucking sea.
Yeah, the people who enjoy it as well enjoy. I would have to think.
Exclusive.
I mean, not that I would know.
Yeah.
I would never know. But the paying for it is part of it, presumably.
Yeah.
So you keep the contact. I'm paying for this, so no one else.
Yeah, you sort of you're feeling yourself. Thing, into...
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, this is
how
for
I
me.
Feel about Netflix.
Yeah.
When I think when I stop just paying, you guys might finally get to see Love is Blind season 3.
You might finally bring back Henry Cavill as the Witcher.
Gavin doesn't have limited series permanency, so he thinks when he unsubscribes from Netflix, they stop making them. Peekaboo!
So this is a good point that actually and this certainly was true. I imagine it's no longer true because I imagine OnlyFans has taken it over. But the biggest porn site in the world several years ago was none of the like free streaming ones. It was the like
Jacksbomb.com.
Yeah, I mean, our AWS bill alone was honestly as big as the fan base. I think Live Jasmine, like one of those like live streaming ones, which it's like conversation.
Like Camgirls.
Camgirls, yeah.
Oh, specifically,
like one Camgirl site was like, again, like by users, by revenue, like again, it's just so, and there's just so much money.
And it probably is a similar thing where it's like, the guy, like they want that sort of quasi relationship with the person.
And that's forget that that's a two way cam service if you're willing to pay extra.
So they have to look at you.
what you're actually paying for. So again, some of these things are what you're paying for is to get someone to look at you. Like it goes out. You can buy one step beyond the parasocial stuff and into just like full on.
I hope they don't have to prove they're really looking at the guy. I hope they can just pretend.
The solution's right here, fellas. And I know it's an audio medium.
Yeah. Throw a pair of sunnies on. Sunnies are on and popping.
With your eyes plastered on the front. And you can sleep through class.
I know you can read my thoughts, boy. But... Because, you know, like even a really attractive man masturbating is at best undignified. And the kind of guy who's not only paying to watch you, but is paying for you to watch him. Just imagine. You could see the smell. We talked about visible stink lines, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You'd be like, is he just punching himself? Oh, no, he has to fish his penis out of his fat folds. Oh, no.
It's surely a growing market in line with, I'm like, Jack, you'd know this as a man who likes charts, I'd imagine. The chart of loneliness in America and subscribers on an OnlyFans or parasocial site is just a straight line parallel to each other.
Interesting. I would actually rather, I don't know, but I would rather see that stat for somewhere like Japan where they have this
yes, the forgotten generation.
This have like kind of like approaching national emergency level of fall in birth rate. So I wonder, I think that's the cultural differences in terms of like, this is more Korea to do the like idol type stuff. But like, I think the like obsession over sexualized people in a non-personal context seems to may pan out in other ways culturally, but that would be a more extreme example that I would love to see. I'd love to see the fucking chart for. I don't even know what the axis would be, but I'd love to see it.
Could it be anything like, to do with COVID vaccines?
Bowling alone, wanking together, like, you know?
Bowl alone, wank together. I'd vote for that party. Did you run in the elections last week?
If you read the diagrams of the correlation between the OnlyFans population and everybody else, you find that the COVID vaccine brought about an epidemic of loneliness that... Mr. Kennedy, stop it! The RFK Jr. impression, not helping anyone. No one fucking cares. The only libertarians on the internet care, but I'm still working on it.
Do you want a free impression that you can do at any time? And I don't know why I was thinking about this recently, but the timbre and speech pattern of Cameo, any Cameo, I'm fascinated with. And it seems like no matter who you're talking to or what you're doing, the person is speaking to their four-year-old child that they've been absent from, and it's their birthday. So if I was doing
okay,
it's
like,
hey, Gav, I heard from a couple of friends of yours that you've got a big day coming up. That's so cool. And I heard you might want to meet someone that's been important in your life. And that's the character I play on this show that maybe you've watched sometimes. Thanks so much. And then at the same time, imagine just someone's just walking behind them, just in the room.
Yeah, they're
just
going like, about their business.
In the gym.
Oh, because they're recording like fucking 50 of these a day, aren't they? So it's like they're just
looking down their glasses at the script, like, hey, Manus, a couple of friends of yours got in touch with me, your hero, The Rock. And you're my people's champion. And it's like they're not even getting their own.
Doesn't The Rock strike you as the kind of guy who wouldn't do that? He'd be like, I can't call him the people's champion. I'll call him something else, but that's kind of
yeah, because I'm the people's champion.
Yeah, that's kind of I wish I could call you the people's champ, but that is that title is taken. So I'm gonna have to say, you're my champ.
That's a pretty good laid back Rock impression. Because most people go for the like in the ring Rock. You've gone for the Rock's on a talk show.
I'm doing the Rock speaking to the phone. Which is a different
Dwayne between.
Dwayne's falsely sincere Instagram posts about like his first time going to.
I'm
going
seeing
to
all the posts about Papa Tui. I'm so proud. I'm so honored to see all the mana out here, all the mana out here that are feeling about this skincare. It's important to take care of yourself. Take care of those around you.
That's a lot of tequila for a sunscreen prono Rock. What's going on there?
You do a
despite
lot
visible cuts, you have to end with one take. Nice.
Because Cameo is the type of thing that would be really cool if it wasn't huge. Like if no one knew about it and you could get like, you could be like, look, I got a fucking message from this fucking celebrity.
A guy I know got like a bunch of cameos for a friend before they even put the fucking Cameo watermark. So early was he. And the first one he said was just Sean DePaul saying, hey, Barry, how's it going? Like, is Sean DePaul here? You know, we've been burning. And it honestly fucking blew his mind. It was like,
it would.
Sean DePaul knows my name. What the fuck is going on?
I wouldn't know what to think.
Yeah. But we got one for our friend Donal. From a drag queen he likes, and like in the era of peak Cameo, it was like, oh my god, hello Donald, your friends, and we left it, and it was like as part of like a 20-minute video, and it was just one of the many videos, but it was just like yeah, we are rapidly approaching peak Cameo.
Yeah.
Didn't and we gave him no money for it, but the guy from The Room sent us a little, like, it's mostly a stock video, but he does do his little hello thing at the start of it.
Oh, for the screening of The Room that the players did.
Yeah, the one that annoyed Ben so much that he wrote a letter to Mark Atkinson that Mark Atkinson then got so in a fluff about.
I wasn't annoyed. I was excited about a possible prank.
Nothing. Ben, I know you of old. Nothing annoys you more than copyright breach.
Which is why I know so much about OnlyFans and how to protect that content.
But for no money, only saying we were putting on his thing, he was like, he took the time it would take to do a cameo and record a little thing. It's like they didn't know what they
had. I'll tell you what, he's probably making money from Cameo right now.
Oh, I presume he massively is, although you would have to say his heyday of being able to do that stuff was probably prior to, you know, it's a shame. He'd be sitting there going, why the fuck didn't Cameo exist? Because even if he'd just been asking for a fiver each time I presume there must have been screenings of that going on all around the world every night for a while. Like, even if he'd just been getting $5 a pop, he would have been had that. He just made $5, you know, that's a lot, it's more than no dollars.
Yeah. I mean, never sucked a dick before, but $5 is $5, you know.
I'm underselling how funny Ben's prank was. It was very funny because he wrote it in such a way that if you weren't panicking, it was obvious that it was a joke. Like, there was like written in Comic Sans, he'd like got spelling mistakes. He'd written it like that, like those. Well, it's unfortunate because we knew he'd written it, but I don't know if we'd have picked up on it, but Mark certainly didn't.
But I don't think it was that screening because the premise of the prank was that Mark was out. Is that his name? Yeah, it is
Tommy.
Mark.
Tommy Weezy.
Tommy, yeah. Tommy Mark's the guy, yeah. Tommy was out.
The character of his friend is Mark.
It's Mark. That's right. Tommy Wiseau did not know that there was a screening happening, but had found out about the screening and had sent a letter just saying, like, I'm so glad that you've shown my movie, but you do owe me money for screening this. So it must have been a follow-up screening that he did the video for. And, like, this is in the era in which a week later there was probably another screening of The Room.
Oh, there probably was. It's like, but I even remember, like, there were little details, like, you had... Like, it wasn't addressed to anyone. You just gave it to him, and you're like, I found this on the floor in the CSC. And he didn't.
Like, sorry, this was a printed endeavor.
Yeah. Oh, it was in Comic Sans. It was serious.
Oh, no.
He had a little, not Imro, but it was the little logo for whoever fucking enforced it. Like, he'd done enough to where if you're panicking, it would fool you. But it's like 2 seconds of sitting back and going, is this, like, any analysis would have told you it was fake. So that's when the pranks are at their funniest. They had a chance to not be fooled, but they were fooled.
I was sitting behind the desk in Players, and I slipped it within the envelopes that were on the table. And I was like, oh, what's this one? It's not open.
it was something like that. It was like you had literally handed it to him. Like it was.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you missed this one. Or I was like, oh, Mark, your mail. And just like in a group of letters. And the hardest part was seeing and watch real mail. So that's the trick, fellas.
The tricks are always funnier when they should have figured it out.
Mm.
Like, anyone can just ring someone up and go, like, your whole family died in a fire, bye. You know. Okay, granted, that one you should have known it was fake too. But anyone can do one where it's just you really make it real. Like, you do a phone call or like to where it's like, yeah, of course they were fooled by that. Who the fuck would make that up and whatever. But when it's like you make up like a clearly fake sounding award that they won or like, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. That's
Avery Goodman has gotten in touch and says, I'm the bestest boy.
Yeah. Or like you put your own phone number on the letter or something. So it's like if they even bothered to ring it, they would get you, like, but they don't or something like that. You know, that's the key to a good prankaroonie. Did anybody bring for this second episode of the Final Countdown in One Day, which is the first episode of this week that you're hearing, listener? Did anyone bring a second beer? I've already finished my second beer, but it was the same as the first one, so it bears no comment.
I did. I've got a. Sorry, I have. I'm having some people over shortly, so I've set my little robot vacuum cleaner off in the other room. So I came into this room to not have you all hear the noise of it. And now you're hearing the noise.
It's pretty quiet.
It's very
you're grabbing a second beer. Yeah. I can talk you through my beer while you're grabbing that beer.
Why don't you?
Yeah, that would have been a way better place for us to start. Thanks, Cal.
I'm drinking Dead Center Brewing's Teeny Tiny Micro New England IPA. And I'll tell you, like, okay, we asked last week, why have breweries like disappeared from the kind of micro nano sphere? And I'll tell you why. Because therein no flavor lies. This tastes like nothing.
How micro is it?
It's 3.3.
That's pretty micro.
So even like, given that some of them were like 2%, that's high enough up on the... But it's... Sorry, you were in the middle of describing.
But like, it just makes me think like Little Fawn is a bit of a miracle at what, like 3.6, 3.8?
No, oh, it's 4.2. It's
4.2. Oh, okay, right. So it's up there. But like Northern Lights from Whiplash,
that was great.
That was a bit watery, but like at 2% or 2.2 or whatever it was, you were like, I'll forgive you, you know?
Yeah.
This kind of tastes like that, like very kind of insipid, you know, but it's ground, it's fine. But you know, I would rather some flavor.
You're nearly better off going Rattler at that rate. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Or Shandy or some sort of...
Something, yeah.
It's fair enough. Although, like, the lack of flavor has never meant that a beer can't sell loads. But I guess... But then you can also imagine just an Irish person just being like, 3%? What? And it doesn't matter. Even if it was great, they're not going to generally buy it. So, they're not selling them, obviously. That's Teeny Tiny from Northern Lights, did you say?
Dead Center.
Northern Lights was the name of the Whiplash. That's a shame. Mm. That's a shame that that's not nicer.
Mm.
Yeah, because we do need them. But unfortunately, this ain't it.
Well, they only work.
Sorry, go
they
ahead.
They only work for what I would want them for when it's not slapping me in the face that it's a micro while I'm drinking it. Mm. You know, and for where you just like, oh, this is, and I won't register if it tastes in of an enough of beer. It won't register with me that it's weaker, but it registers with your liver and your brain and your everything else. So yeah. So have you gone for more limoncello then?
I got myself a little glass of limoncello.
Oh, I see the accent is starting to rub in.
It's Bobby Boucher from The Waterboy.
when in Rome?
Drink limoncello.
Drink a limoncello.
No wonder that country descended into fascism. All they have is fucking limoncello and fucking pasta.
It is my subset of favorite Italian accents. It goes Mario, obviously, up there near the top. But then an Italian child.
A little limoncello.
Is my favorite.
sorry, what happened there, Ben? For a second, you went away and the little Italian child seemed to take over your microphone. What happened there?
Don't let that little child drink that limoncello, Ben.
It's not. I know they have a permissive attitude towards alcohol, but Ben, it's 30% alcohol.
Do we think a lot of Italian children are lashing into
limoncello?
Okay, none of you have not been. You've been Bobby Boucher each time, both of you.
Every single time.
Yeah, we've actually
Mamma said, you like a limoncello because...
I think we've been dangerously close to the Family Guy cleaner, like lemon pledge.
Yeah, that's true.
And in my defense, I'm two limoncellos deep. So,
oh god, yeah, you're almost a completely fucking celloed, man.
I got so celloed last night.
Oh, you straight celloed?
Straight cello.
It's probably for the best we didn't discover limoncello as younger men, because coming up with something like "let's get fucking celloed, lads" would have resulted in us drinking.
Hoist the sails! I'm going through the Michelin Straits.
Do you hear that bass?
I would have shit myself to me. Twice as much.
Oh, you certainly would have.
I hate to say, is probably double figures.
Think about all the vitamin C in that limoncello.
Okay. Scurvy for me, boys.
Doing its mischief on your beautifully sensitive colon, Gavin. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Jack, what have you got?
I've got a Tool pomegranate orange sour. Only a 4%, and let me tell you, the percent does not dictate the flavor. This,
Jack, you must have spent a lot of time in Denmark, because that's a perfect pronunciation of that beer.
Yeah, thank you. I have been studying. My travels have made me very worldly, and I plan on letting you know that I am worldly, mostly by saying Bartalonia.
Oh, sir, I think
we've got a little Michael Palin over here, it looks like. Well traveled.
Seems like we've got a big John Joe Joyce over here.
Don't think that's the same type of travel somehow.
This is real good. It's a sour, but it's not packing too much of a punch. Yeah, this is real good.
Excellent. And for anyone who could possibly have been wondering, I've already finished my second Perlenbacher 00. What are you gonna do?
Wow.
Does Perlenbacher 00 give you the shits, Manus?
I've not drank a number of them that I would think would. Like, I've only ever had like two or three of them, which even Heineken 00, which famously give me the shits if I had six of them. I did have to have six of them before it happened, so I don't know. I only had too many. I'd make it a double. Am I right? Am I fucking right? No, but seriously, I only had two. I only had two in the fridge, thankfully, because I would have had more, and then we would have found out for sure.
Jack has been, speaking of traveling, Jack has been traveling. He is a traveler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. You may have noticed my luscious tan.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Because I spent the last 2 weeks rollicking around in the American South. Oh, not South America. That would be where I was in mixed company.
I do declare.
I was traveling with my cousin Ruby.
Oh, Miss Ruby, I declare.
And
Ruby is a real American sound.
Yeah. Especially Miss Ruby. She'd have a diner or something, you know?
Yeah.
Miss Ruby. She's Ruby. The emblem of the South.
Let me tell you, we hit a couple of diners, I don't mind telling you. I have put on what can only be described as 2% body fat in a mere 10 days.
To be fair, when you're starting from 0%, 2% is fine.
2%.
Yeah.
That's a micro.
That's
a micro. That's basically an ab. Yeah.
Yeah. You swapped your abs for nabs. That's all.
Yeah. And there's kind of no point going to the South of America and not being like, I'm eating.
Yeah, I'm trying to spend as much money as possible and eat as much shit as possible. Yeah. And it's all going to be incredibly sugary and salty and greasy, and I just need to lean into that immediately. Yeah. But I will
did
say...
Did you eat crocodile?
I had turtle, but not actually any crocodile.
You shredder motherfucker. Yeah. The one thing that's off the list, Jack.
Yeah.
Tonight we do not dine on turtle soup. I wasn't. Yeah. Was it delicious? I bet they're fucking delicious.
Yeah, because when you're in this, so for to explain, we started in New Orleans, ended up in Nashville, and drove the blues highway, Highway 61, all the way up through music country, and it was actually I have never done a trip that has lived up to every single stereotype more, in the best possible way. Starting in New Orleans. They actually listen to jazz as much as you think they do. Like, you get into a taxi and there's just jazz on, and it's not for you, it's for him.
Is it jazz or is it like Zydeco music? Is it like, I guess I couldn't tell you the difference.
I know. I'm sure they know the difference, and there was a Zydeco festival on that weekend, or like a Zydeco night on.
They may be the same thing. I don't know. I don't know why I asked.
I think it's just a slightly more bluesy jazz, and to be honest, the difference is so fucking minimal anyway. Once you go beyond like a 10-piece horn section, like it's fine. And like a second line, say you'd love it.
More of a fan of a one-piece horn section.
Not enough horn section for you, I'd say probably.
New Orleans, exactly as much jazz as you expect. It's very, so did like a swamp tour, went to a, it's all, the architecture is absolutely fucking spectacular. Had some turtle soup, because apparently if you're in the swamp, you're hunting alligator, you're hunting turtle. And that's just good eating.
And you hunt to eat.
Is it served? And I don't know if I don't want to know the answer, in its own bowl, because it makes sense, right?
I would absolutely have loved if it was, Ben, but unfortunately, it was served in a regular bowl. I think I would honestly rather turtle bowl soup than turtle soup in a regular bowl.
Yeah, because they're fucking using every part of the turtle, like the Native Americans do with the buffalo. You know, it's the way to a white man who puts in the bowl.
That's something I should have asked, is like, where is the rest of the turtle? Why is it not served in the shell?
Well, I mean, so Tony, y'all sitting on him as we speak. That lumpy, uncomfortable seat cushion y'all sitting on is a turtle shell. And you ever wonder why we call it, why you can't never sit, why everybody's always dancing in Nolans? Can't be sitting on these uncomfortable seats, that's for sure.
A Viking horn problem that actually the turtle shell is probably very difficult to keep flat.
Fucking got a neck your turtle soup in one, like a New Orleans native. Laissez le
bon temps. Like an oyster. Like, shuck it like an oyster.
Shuck it like an oyster.
New Orleans is a spectacular place. Strong recommend. It's everything. Okay. It's everything you think it's going to be. Like, you will just be like, oh, there's a second line kicking off at the park, and it's going to just, and you just walk around drinking with some of the best musicians you've ever seen, and you just do a lap of town, end up somewhere, and there's your hour, and it's great.
Did you get a lot of beads? Were you flashing boobs?
I actually did. We only spent a small amount of time on Bourbon Street, and I did show my tits to several men on a balcony, and they simply did not get it. They were like, but you're a man. And they weren't even like thinking like, oh, this is a joke and it's not funny. They were like genuinely could not understand what was happening. He's like, why is he lifting his top?
There's not boobs there. What's the point of this?
I literally don't understand this. But there was a lot of And we weren't there for any like particular kind of weekend. Like Bourbon Street is absolutely rammed. Everyone is completely fucking trashed. And if you are a woman and you flash your boobs to people on balconies, they will throw beads at you.
But you got no beads, even though you were like, here's my boy tits. They're like,
I'm gonna be honest, Manto. I did it once.
Has a point on this. Nips or nits?
Nips are nips fucking nips. Nips, man.
Free the nip, bro. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Or conceal all nips. It's the double standard I can't abide.
Yeah.
If you want me to wear pasties, I'll oblige. I don't mind that.
So New Orleans, absolutely spectacular. Would go back in the morning. Like the kind of place that you could actually imagine, like, you know, living. And it does. Okay, I'll say this about New Orleans. We started there. We did like the highway, went through like real middle America. It's another one of those experiences where you remember why, you know, people would vote for Trump and why people are broadly unhappy with how the country goes. Because it's a lot of towns and it's like, oh, everywhere is boarded up. And then you're like,
except the border.
Some one place they want it.
Fuck yeah.
And the local Cracker Barrel. That's always
that is get you on Fox News. That's
that's top tier content.
I'm gonna be on Goodfield.
That is good. Like that is good work. Like
that's good.
Yeah, everything's boarded up in this country except the border.
Goodfield audience would fucking love that shit, man.
We stayed a night in a haunted Confederate mansion in a place called Vicksburg, site of one of the battles on the Mississippi during the Civil War.
Famous battle of Vicksburg.
Yeah, they have a big old national park there dedicated to the battle. One thing I gotta say is, throughout the entire set, didn't see a single Confederate flag. I know that's more of like an Alabama, Georgia kind of thing, but like, I gotta say, like, you hear that, like, oh, they're all kind of like racist Confederate. Literally, didn't see a single element of that the entire time we were sort of heading north. But the thing I will say is, you start in New Orleans, the further north you go, further south you get.
Oh,
right.
Explain. I'm curious.
So you're going through Clarksdale, where everyone from Sam Cooke to Rick Ross was born, a town that basically doesn't even exist anymore. It's down to like 10,000 people, home of the Delta Blues Museum. You do plantation tours on the way if you understand the historical context of where all this music came from. You stop into Memphis, a place that you would probably not like to spend time, and that multiple taxi drivers warned us we should probably leave.
Almost died in Memphis once. I'll tell you that next time.
Absolutely. Graceland is great. The studio tours are great. And then you keep going north and then you get to Nashville. And that's where we ended. And it's like you cross this line and it goes from being all black people to being all white people. And let me tell you who's fucking scarier. So white people.
are they armed to the teeth? Is that the particular fear?
Didn't see any visibly armed people, but a lot of people wearing t-shirts that would imply they wish they were.
Joe Biden took their guns or didn't buy them for them. I don't know. He hasn't.
T-shirt that says you can't take these guns and it points at your biceps. That'd be a good t-shirt.
And they shouldn't
take these guns.
Yeah. And the wearer should not have visible bicep. The wearer should have no arms at all.
Yes. Shooting accident.
Like a few weeks ago. Someone who's lost
the right to bear arms.
A Republican, like a Southern Republican who's lost an arm, would be like, Joe Biden took my guns with an arrow pointing to the arm he lost, would be a fucking banger t-shirt.
So he doesn't have to be cold and dead himself, merely the hand. So merely when... As was tradition in the South, when surrendering their guns, they would chop off their hand too, so that it would actually be taken
as is, of course, tradition.
From their cold, dead hands. And women would actually enter the South over their dead body. So they buried them right there at the border. Not a lot of people know this little Trinity fact, but...
So we get to Nashville. Nashville is, on the weekend we were there, hosting the largest country music festival of the year in the country, therefore in the world, this weekend. CMA Fest is on in Nashville. We had no idea. It's basically like coming to Dublin and being like, what do you mean Paddy's Day? And you're like, oh, okay, so this is just taking over the whole city, but in the best possible way. There's like stages everywhere, but they're like big stages with like real acts that we don't know, but you look them up and you're like, oh, this person has like, is like legit.
A billion Spotify streams. Yeah, this country is fucking huge.
And it's all free except for like the main thing that's on in the Titans Stadium, which we obviously didn't go to any of that. And we had like kind of our own stuff that we wanted to do. But like Nashville is like the quality of musician in New Orleans and Nashville, fucking mind blowing. Oh, one sec. I think I've got to.
Oh, yeah.
You reckon he's going to hide us from them or hide them from us?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a healthy mix of column A and a healthy mix of column B. Hey!
Hey! Who were we? I did that person the size of a... Oh, yeah. Sorry. She was the size of a postage stamp. I couldn't tell who it was. Yeah. Oh, hey, man. No, I'm just doing a work thing. Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know, man. Yeah. These are just colleagues, you know?
Okay. Let me skip to the takeaway. In a way that I have never found in Ireland, people in Nashville and New Orleans actually love and listen to the music and continue to make the music that they want. Flying out of Nashville, there were three bars in the airport with live bands, and they were not for tourists. They were for locals. And I think that's fucking great, because when was the last time you heard a trad song get written?
Like Lancome are doing some pretty shitty music at the moment.
Yeah, they're doing real shit music. Scratch are doing like...
I fucking hate Lancome. That's my...
We got it out of them, boys.
Don't you fucking
writing shush. Songs, aren't they?
Fucking Mary Wallopers. There we go.
You're supposed to like Lancome.
You're supposed to like the Mary Wallopers. Mary Wallopers are pretty good. I like them too, but it's like you're supposed to like them, though, you know? Yeah. So it's like if you didn't like them, you'd be like, who am I here with? What am I going to say? It's like admitting you haven't read Ulysses.
Yeah.
Which, of course, none of us would ever do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, none of us have read it, but none of us, I mean, you'd think in the era of audiobooks, some of us would cheat read it, but turns out it's just as annoying
started,
to listen to as it is to read.
Started Fellowship today. Nah, just read good shit.
Yeah. Fellowship of the South, I think, is the one you were reading. Yeah. You picked it up when you were in Tennessee.
Yeah, Fellowship of the Sovereign Citizen. I will say in the taxi, the last moments in Nashville, we went to, they have made a one-to-one replica of the Parthenon, which is already insane.
Yeah, that's truly insane.
Yeah, truly
like,
insane.
Replicate what they thought it looked like before?
No. Like in the 1920s, they built this one-to-one replica of the Parthenon as part of like an expo to draw people to the city, and they just kept it. They knocked down the entire...
Like what's wild is you can just go take it. That's how you get the Parthenon.
Yeah, piece by piece.
There's some like creepy British Museum guy there going like, if you take your eyes off that antiquity for even a moment.
We got another one, boys.
Now let's celebrate our new acquisition with a nice glass of cam.
And as we're leaving, there is a pro-Israel like demonstration has started outside, which is already like...
The Parthenon? That's just confusing for historians.
Very confusing. Yeah. And they're like, so glad to have our hostages back, completely ignoring the 200 people who they killed in the process. And then we get into the taxi and they're like, oh, where are you guys from? He's like, oh, I'm from Ireland. He's like, oh, Ireland, y'all got democracy there? Or are y'all still under the British? And I'm like,
Jack.
Word for fucking word, first thing he says. And I'm like, what a fascinating intersection of knowledge to know that Ireland once was under British control, but also that we might not have democracy. And the first taxi we got in Nashville, the taxi we got just before that was like, oh, are you from Northern or Republic of Ireland? And I was like, this guy knows this guy fucking gets it. Yeah. Like, so like, and I will let you guess the race of each person who asked those questions.
Don't have to guess.
Trick question. Trick question. The answer is I'm not answering that.
You're right, Gavin.
The answer is they were both American.
Yeah, I don't see color, to be honest with you. It's a big problem.
A light drive.
Yeah, trying to go through life without being able to see color is fucking so difficult.
Yeah. I love those little circles, those one color circles people can show me. They're lovely.
I don't know. He's like, you don't know traffic lights.
I'm gonna dip This is great. This has been great. I'm just gonna leave this. I'm gonna leave this run, but I am also going to run.
Okay. We'll probably finish pretty quickly, but yeah. Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye. Tell all those people you're meeting that past instances in which I profess to like them were fraudulent.
His score was 7, I'm guessing. What did he have?
Yeah, Sarah? It's a 7. Or is this going to be another bonus episode where Jack comes back hours later and says a score, and we're going to have to cut that in?
Let's release just like it, when he just keeps it recording, comes back hours later drunk, and we just release the big thing. And what a bumper episode! I wonder what happened. Aww.
There's a bonus track at the end of the CD. If you wait for an extra 15 minutes, there's an extra bonus noise.
You ever do that? And there's like a, it's years ago since it would have been a thing. There's like a 19th track on the CD.
Yeah.
And you listen to it, and it's just like, it's a load of silence. And you're like, oh boy. And then it's like, ha ba!
Yeah. I think Blink 182, Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, legitimately had like extra song at the end. But it wasn't any good. Like, if it was good, it would have been.
Yeah, on the album.
That's true.
We'll save our best one that we won't tell people about or be able to release as a single. That'll do.
You would have to be sued for promotional malpractice if you put a good song as the hidden track, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Bonus track. So called because it's the best one, as always. Yeah, I hear you. It couldn't possibly be. But at least if it's a song, I'm like, okay, fine. It's, oh, look, a bonus track that I didn't. I actually don't know what they were for. I'd be interested to hear. Is
technically a bonus track on Abbey Road? Was it ever on the sleeve?
Is it listed in the liner notes? Is it listed in the liner notes?
I don't
think so. Well, then technically, I guess it is, isn't it?
Hard to know now because now they list it. Like, they're like, well, that's there. They've uncovered.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, if you bought a copy of it in 19. I believe it was released in the 1930s. If you bought it, in around there.
Legend World War II, I think.
Presumably on a record, though, I guess most people wouldn't bother, but you actually can look at a record and see how many tracks are on it. So you would see that there was
an right. Because like if the album stops, but the needle isn't where it should be, you're like, well, that seems like a waste of space.
Yeah.
Unless, because it was a set amount of space. Maybe that happened all the time. That like records.
Actually, that's probably exactly why they exist. That's probably exactly why they exist. Because the record's the same size no matter what. And then you're just like, okay, just fuck it. We will just stick something that was in the outtakes and just put it on. Although you would think, why not, if you realize that, given that it's not a trivial fucking matter that you spent 5 minutes on making this record, why not just go, we have extra space, have that be the extra track?
Another verse and chorus to one of your good songs. No one's gonna mind.
Yeah.
Fucking
and I also think that this is good.
One more small thing.
Really talked about Haribo for a while.
I want to drop the hand. Okay, that makes sense why it's, yeah, they're building to that, you know. Yeah. So I'd be interested to find out. Not interested enough to ask anyone who would know, but it's in the ether now. Why? What's up with bonus tracks?
So, yeah, one of our four listeners. Come on.
And did we get it right by accident? Is it just that they're like, oh, crap, we've accidentally got extra room on this record? We can't just say screw Flanders for 3.5 minutes. We're going to have to fucking... That joke won't be written for another 20 years.
There are so many work projects where I finished it with screw Flanders, screw Flanders, screw Flanders, and then had to delete it being like, I'm pretty sure this person will get it, but like, I can't be sure.
Can't take that risk. It's absolutely true.
That's the funny thing about The Simpsons. It's been done. So Screw Flanders is actually a reference to this very niche 1917 film that no one has ever seen.
That fucking blew my mind when I saw Citizen Kane. And I was like, oh, all those things that I thought were just wacky from The Simpsons. It's just, oh, they've just stolen it from Citizen Kane.
Yeah.
What's the other one that they stole liberally from? Was it The Graduate?
Yeah,
Casablanca was often stolen from, and The Graduate, yeah.
Well, like they lifted like a whole, it's not the whole, yeah, like the episode where
the whole plot of the Monty Burns and the and Abe and
What's her name? Bouvier?
Blanche Bouvier.
Mrs. Bouvier.
And like, I hadn't seen The Graduate. I saw The Graduate after that, and it was like, oh, okay. There's loads of those like 70s touchstone movies that when you see them, and you're like, oh, that's a thing. That's the first. Like, hey, I'm walking here. It's like,
Cape Fear as well.
Cape Fear is a big one. Yeah.
Yep.
And like, that should have been obvious to 12-year-old me because they didn't. They just called it Cape Fear.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. But a lot of the time, as like as a younger viewer, I was like interested in the plot. I laughed at some things, but mostly I was like, "What happens?
What's going to happen? Yeah, what happens to Homer and the gang?
Yeah. Are they going to get away with this?" It's like what I would read. Like I had a superficially, it looked like I had a quite a sophisticated taste in reading as a younger man, but really, what was happening was like there'd be like these allegorical books that I just wouldn't get. I feel like, so I like read 1984 quite young, and I was just like, when's Winston going to get his own back on the party? And then he doesn't, and I'm just like, that was shit. Fucking, how's old Winston going to get out of this? Fucking
that's so good.
I don't know why anyone fucking likes this book. Yeah.
But like, you're not wrong, and that books before that were, it's like, what's Jeeves going to do next? And Buster's in trouble. And like, an Oscar Wilde play is like, oh, there's a lot, they've set up a lot of shenanigans.
Yeah.
This is going to come together. Stories used to come together.
Ooh, Slaughterhouse 5. He's really gone away with the aliens this time. Oh, God damn it. That's like a fucking 15-year-old who did it in secondary school. It'd be like explaining it to me at 23 years old. And I'm like, oh, yeah, again, okay, there's teams and stuff. All right, fine. Fine. I guess. Piss off now. With your themes. Here's a theme for you. And here's why themes aren't all they're cracked up to be, right? So here's a film. It stars Ben and Gavin, right? There they are.
Yeah.
Gavin comes out of his house one morning to find a big shit on his doorstep. And he fucking knows that Ben did it. He didn't see him, but he fucking knows Ben did it. They live very close to each other. So Gavin then goes and takes a shit on Ben's doorstep. And it goes on. So Ben comes out, finds the shit, didn't see Gavin does it, but he knows Gavin did it. And he fucking dumps on Gavin's doorstep. And it's like, it's just ever quicker and quicker cuts to them, like opening the door, seeing the shit, going out. And it goes on for like a good hour and a half of them shitting. And eventually it's just the two of them shitting at the same time, staring at each other, really close up in on their face as they're getting red eyed and bulge veined in their forehead. Just dump sounds happening all together. Pan out. You realize they're all both sitting on the same doorstep. They live in the same house. They're brothers. And it's all an allegory for the Irish Civil War.
Yeah.
Wait, is that not the exact plot of that Berlin Wall play that you were in?
It might be. I never read the script.
What's it called? Over the Wall?
It was called Over There by Mark Ravenhill.
Oh, yeah.
And there wasn't really a plot for it other than like you're like. They poo and shit and yeah, there is a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone might go, that play is just two lads shitting for an hour and a half, and you go, oh, you obviously don't get the themes. You don't get the themes. It's for the Civil War, you know.
What I've always wondered is, you know the poem where one brother shoots the other brother across a building in Dublin?
No, I don't know that poem. No. But...
So it's like I think he's on top of the GPO or whatever, and he shoots a sniper and they finds out he shot his own brother. That's basically kind of the poem.
That rings bells, but I don't think I know.
So did his several missed shots.
Shit, I got mines again.
He's messing me on purpose because he's my brother.
Thanks, brother.
It's just there a terrible shot. What's your sorry, Ben? I don't know, but I know the
my point is there's no shootable, no scope distance that I would not recognize my own brother.
Yeah.
Even in a helmet, even a uniform, I'd be like, oh, that's my brother.
I also got to tell you, Ben, I think there's no shootable distance at which you wouldn't notice him and then go, I could shoot him in the ass. This would be hilarious. I think I got him. Just the entire war is two Clifford brothers trying to shoot each other in the ass because of how funny it would be.
You don't understand. I meant to get him in the ass.
I meant to shoot him in the ass. This terrible war.
What has it done to us?
Completely remove my ability to innocently shoot my own brother in the ass because it would be funny, and by golly, would it be. So, see, they just don't get the themes, is the point.
They don't get the themes.
They don't get thematically, they're dumb, is what they are. They don't understand the way we do. Mm. I often feel that with movie criticism, book criticism, it all boils down to Professor Frink not letting the toddler play with the, like, pushy toy because he wouldn't enjoy it on as many levels as I do.
Enjoy it the way I do.
Can I play with it? Well, of course not. Yeah. Can I just watch the film? No. You don't understand the you don't thematically understand it on as many levels as I do. Yeah. That's an episode, as far as I can fucking tell. Is there anything to review?
Comes to mind that if you release this one first, it would make more sense. But that's just the way we run. You would think.
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. I think given that the theme of the other episode was old English people drinking cum, yeah, it probably actually makes sense. No, what? There's no fucking sense.
My point being, you were silver drunker earlier.
Sorry, I correct that. The correct order is to release this one and then burn the other one in the fire.
And just record another one next week.
I admire Ben. You reached up on the shelf for something to say, and you're like, "This can't. He won't analyze this. I'll just say it." And it worked. I didn't think about it. I was like, "Yeah, of course it makes more sense." But Gavin made the fatal mistake of thinking about it for 14 seconds, which was the problem. Honestly, not your problem, Ben. Honestly, not yours. No. His problem.
I still stand by what I said.
I stand you with stand you. By I stand said. With you. Fair. I stand with Ukraine. I stand with Palestine. I SodaStream was something to do with those things. I can't remember what it was, but I have to as well. And I just want to fucking drink a good old gallon of English cum and not be bloody judged for it every day of the week, arrested for a bloody hate crime. That's what I
hand
would
pumped,
be.
Warm, frothy, hand pumped ale.
I'm not fucking going to Tesco for some of that pre-pumped cum. Are you joking me? Get up the
and
fucking
be robbed.
Gun. Being robbed in Tesco's. No deposit return scheme for cum. I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got something to review.
Well, go for it.
Teeny Tiny has grown on me, but only fractionally. It's going to be a 7. If you're looking for a micro, there's very few out there. And this is one of them. So get it, but don't expect much.
It's limoncello, second time.
Delicious. No, probably less. It's one of those ones that's too sweet to drink twice.
I get you.
You know what I mean? A glass of limoncello is enough.
You know, when you don't want something to be too sweet, Ben, you should have a glass of Rockshore apple cider.
Yes.
Don't be crocheting little miniature versions of your friends, but do drink Rockshore apple cider because it's not too sweet.
Too sweet. Yeah. Fun little story about that, because it's now back on air.
It is, yeah.
I don't think the client liked it the first time, but it worked. And results are results. I don't know if that's true, but I remember it was a frosty reception. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to go get. A nice, not too sweet glass of Rockshore apple cider. Poured over ice, the way they want me to drink it.
Yeah. Gluten-free.
Actually, sorry, not poured over ice, the way they want me to drink it.
Because you drink it faster if you don't drink it over ice. Yeah, I understand that.
I think ice dilutes the tartness of Bulmers or something. Ice in a cider is like, it's masking in the same way that coldness masks for a beer. So like Bulmers, people who make cider are like, yeah,
I can see Bulmers being nicer with ice because Bulmers is too sweet.
Yeah,
the ice helps. Anything that sort of takes away from that would.
And tick the contractual obligation that this is a beer podcast. Done. All right, we can close to that.
Now, no more come for anyone until next week when we'll be back with more tales from Gavin's trip to the place he's going, which is wherever it is. They won't follow you. Exactly. Where it is. You
they won't follow me. Okay. Italy, but I won't say where it is.
Oh, okay. Hopefully. Oh, is that where they make all those traditional Italian lagers?
I cannot wait to have a nice Peroni brewed since 2007.
The Italian Reinheits Gebot, which provides only the finest ingredients. Jeez. Good. That'll be an exciting time. Tuscany is beautiful this time of year, I've heard.
Is it?
I don't know. You never, no one ever fucking argues with
it, you heard it.
Yeah. If you say no one's going to go, no, it isn't. Especially if they're going there. If somebody tells you they're going somewhere and you say it's beautiful, the place you're going, it's beautiful this time of the year. Yeah. No one's going to get snot. We picked it because it's shit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. I'm going there to see the shit.
I hate myself. Yeah. But it only really leaves us one thing to choose to.
Which is?
Shooting your brother in the bum.
Shooting him in the bum because it's funny. Because
it's funny.
Because it's funny.
Funny.
Should have really been on the same side to pull that prank, actually. It's much easier to do it actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you're in front of me. Shot you in the ass.
And cut. Good enough. Splice in some reaction shots of me and shove it on the air.